While we continue reflecting on this gospel from John, we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're just a week away from Palm Sunday when we remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem and beginning the week of his crucifixion and finally his resurrection. In our reading, we hear today of this last significant meal Jesus had before he enters Jerusalem to begin that week. According to John, Jesus has come to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead. He's provoked a reaction so that there's a movement to get rid of both Lazarus and Jesus. Jesus goes to the hills for a while, then he chooses to come back to Bethany to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they are friends eating together with the disciples, as we hear them in today's text. And during this occasion, Mary approaches Jesus, who is reclining to eat. She comes to his feet and washes them and applies this expensive ointment called nard. Then she dries his feet with her hair. Judas objects, but Jesus knows that Mary is aware of the significance of what is happening. And the next day, Palm Sunday, Jesus enters Jerusalem. Well, this Gospel of John is always full of symbolism and meaning. As we hear in this story today, there's lots of little symbolisms going on. There's a lot of looking back, looking forward, and appreciating of what Jesus is beginning in this week of his life and what his ministry stands for. We hear, first of all, that John tells us that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's not in the lesson for today, but a few verses earlier in that. He loved them. She was at Jesus' feet then. We know at another time when Jesus came to their house, and we hear that Mary was at his feet learning from him. Now that evening, in our lesson today, Mary doesn't sit at Jesus' feet, but she washes the feet of Jesus. She bathes them in a pint of very expensive perfumed oil and then dries them with her hair. This washing shows how devoted she is to him and how much she loves him. It's a slave's job to wash someone else's feet. Otherwise, people normally washed their own. But Mary is showing that she's so devoted to him that she wants to be like a slave to Jesus. Nothing else matters so much. He means all to her. And then she loosens her hair to dry his feet. We're not quite sure what this means. Either it shows that he's so important to her that it's worth messing up her hair that was all nicely done for this dinner. She's willing to let go of however she had her hair done up, let it all down so that she could take care of his feet and not worry about her appearance. Or maybe it means that her devotion is so deep that she and Jesus are allowing things to go beyond the rules of normal society, that a woman's hair should not ever be let down in the presence of other males, and that this, in the world of Jesus, the normal societal things don't count, and she is just showing here her extreme devotion for Jesus. Either way, it shows great devotion. The image in John for the followers of Jesus throughout his book is that they be the beloved disciples of Jesus. John identifies himself elsewhere in the book as the one loved by Jesus. And John also says, as I said, that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. To be loved by Jesus and to love Jesus is the goal of the reader of the book of John. Mary is an example of showing and having this love. Well, a very important part of this act of washing the feet of Jesus that Mary used this perfumed oil called nard. It was likely from India, which contributed to its expense, and it was pure, not diluted in any way. From the other Gospels, we learn that it was worth 10 months' pay. So this is no regular bath oil off the shelf. This shows her extravagant love and extravagant devotion to Jesus. And no doubt the smell of this nard filled the room. It's a sign of the way the devotion to Jesus extends far beyond the simple action that she did. It goes out to fill every crack, every crevice of the room. It just expands and goes out through the room to have had that much nard exposed. Anyone entering the room would know that something very special was going on. we think of our own time. Outside of jewelry, one of the most extravagant things a person can buy in our time is perfume. Little ounce of this or that very special type perfume is extremely expensive. It's a gift to show deep devotion or affection for someone if we buy perfume for them, especially if it's really expensive perfume. It's not something that's particularly useful. It's a thing to say, I adore you so much, I have so much affection for you. You can't use this any other way. You can't use it for baking or something like that. This is just for you, for this extravagant thing. It is a kind of extravagance to buy that sort of special perfume for someone. We think back to the first miracle that Jesus performs in the book of John. It was a show of extravagance and abundance. A wedding Jesus was attending with his mother ran out of wine, and Jesus turned water into wine in abundance. And John, in that sign of Jesus, that miracle of Jesus, kind of sets the tone for the rest of the book, that Jesus does these things of abundance and that those who follow him will be extravagant in their love. Jesus is about an abundant life full of love and a life full of extravagant devotion. And by the way, when we think about it, at that wedding, when Jesus made all this water into wine, no doubt there was a little aroma that came from that too. The bouquet of the wine was no doubt in the room, showing again through the fragrance that this abundant love goes out into the world. Just days before this dinner with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and the disciples, the people had been concerned about a different smell. Jesus had shown up after the illness and death of Lazarus and proposed that he go to the tomb, and that the stone be rolled away. But there was a protest that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and surely there would be a terrible smell. But Jesus told them to go ahead, and instead of a bad smell, there was the new Lazarus raised from the dead. And that act of raising Lazarus, though, actually set in motion the forces that for people to want to be rid of both Lazarus and Jesus. From that time on, the Jewish leaders began to plot how to kill Lazarus as evidence that Jesus did this, and to kill Jesus as the one who was distracting the people. The enactment of this plot then resulted in the death of Jesus. After his burial, it was another tomb where the women were concerned about smell. And they took spices to the tomb of Jesus that Easter morning to make things smell better. We know how that turned out on Easter morning. It was a day of abundant new life. Both the Mary who anoints Jesus and the women who go to the tomb with the spices on the day Jesus rises show a new reality of this new beloved community of people who live in the way of Jesus. What matters is the relationship with Jesus, not the roles normally assigned in the world. The new community of extravagant love does things in a new way. Last Wednesday night, we heard how from the cross, Jesus talked to John and to his mother and said, "Woman, behold your son, behold your mother," kind of expanding the idea of family from the nuclear family bloodlines that we normally know to a new way of being family. Today, we hear of Jesus being anointed by Mary. She anoints him with this nard. All the other references in Scripture where someone is anointed are by men doing it. That was the Roman way. That was the Jewish way. When David was anointed to be king, it was Samuel who did it. It's always men doing it. Yet today, we hear how a woman, Mary, was washing the feet of Jesus, pouring oil on them and anointing Jesus. She officially selects him for the task of going to the cross to become the new king, the one who suffers. He's prepared and chosen to go forward to do this work of being king, going to Jerusalem. He will be arrested, he will die, and he will be raised. But it's Mary, the woman, who anoints him. Mary washing the feet of Jesus is then mirrored in another scene we hear about during Holy Week, as things are turned around and Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. In John, this is the main action of Jesus' last gathering supper with his disciples. In John, there's not much of a mention of a communion meal at all. But what's important that last time Jesus meets with the disciples and teaches them is that he washes their feet. He takes the basin, he takes the towel, he takes the water, he goes around to each one of them and washes the feet and says, "Do this, do to one another as I have done unto you." This servant action of washing the feet of one another is very important in John. It reminds us of what this extravagant love is like. It's doing the task, even as menial as a servant's task, out of a deep love for Jesus and a deep love for one another. Jesus reminds us that having this, or John reminds us that having this love of Jesus, though, is not an automatic thing. He includes this detail about the protest of Judas. Judas wasn't in favor of Mary using this expensive nard on the feet of Jesus. Judas was in charge or in favor of selling it and giving the money to the poor. And John further criticizes him, saying he wasn't always honest with the treasury. He represents all of us, though, who struggle with living the abundant lifestyle and get caught up living in the old way. Maybe we're not very confident about sharing, and we want to keep more for ourselves than we should. It's kind of hard sometimes to get out of the new old way of living into the new way of living, of this loving, extravagant love for other people. We know the struggle of doing this. It's hard to let go of what we think is ours. It's hard to share our possessions, our time, our energy. It's hard to give up old ways of thinking, especially when we're inclined to think more in top-down ways of acting, to cling to unequal status of people based on gender or race or nationality. By including Jesus in this story, John reminds us how it's not an easy path to live like one in the beloved community of the disciples of Jesus. The temptation is always there to opt out and go back to the old way. We know how we resist doing the good for the other because we like to keep things for ourselves. We struggle with a tithe of 10 or 20% while we hear the story of Mary, who gives up 80 or 90% of her year's wages for the sake of Jesus. How are we willing to let go of the things we have for the sake of our Lord? There's a colorful sportscaster by the name of Sid Hartman in Minneapolis we used to listen to when we lived in that area, who, when the local team played poorly the night before, he would say in the next morning's news, "They stunk up the joint." We know the same phrase could be applied to us, that sometimes we don't do very well living out the love of Jesus that he's shown to us, and we revert to the selfish side of things. He expects that we will do things that exude the pleasing aroma that will fill the world with the good smell of his love. Every one of the disciples of Jesus was with him at that Last Supper and succeeded in stinking things up. They argued, they bickered, they questioned, they denied, they fled. Yet Jesus included them all in the circle that night before he was arrested. He went around the circle and washed the feet of every one of them, saying, "Wash one another's feet as I have washed yours." In other words, love one another as I have loved you. Our Lord includes us in that circle too. He knows that we haven't always done things so well. Yet we receive the promise of his love, and we hear him say to us, "Love one another as I have loved you. Be servants of one another." Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.